Isaiah 2. Like I said, are you athirst? Let him that is athirst come. Come. Drink. Live. You are called. So receive it. Believe it. And continue in it. And your calling election will be manifest to you. God has called you. You thirst for righteousness. You are called. You thirst for life. You're called. You can take of the water of life freely. You don't have to do anything to obtain this. As far as there's no prerequisites, His grace and mercy will do it to you. He will put it in your heart to seek everything you need. Just like when they built the temple, to the men who would design the things, He put it into their hearts to know just how it should be done. So He teaches us just how it should be done. Verse 18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. That's a few verses there that I've seen abused quite a bit, especially by people who are really attached to the King James, and I'm attached to the King James, but there are other decent translations, and some not so decent. The NIV comes to mind. I just like it because it's more elegant, really, than any of them. It's more beautiful. What people don't understand is that even in King James day, people didn't talk like this. This is formal, poetic, a very formal and poetic way of speaking. And there's more than just that to it, though. There's good reasons. Yes, there are things, translation errors. Obviously, we've learned a lot since the time when the King James translators translated. But in many ways, a lot of those modern translations are plagued with a desire to sort of make a more palatable translation or to make interpretations of things for people. But, and yeah, some of that could come close to this, no doubt, no doubt. Some of that work is definitely a very dangerous business when you start eliminating things from the Word. But the thing is, like, let's say if you were to take this too wooden and literal, you could just basically say, well, Paul, you've been making a commentary on Revelation. You've added to the Word. You've added your words to the Word. And I heard you just mention in the previous part where the word manner in verse 2 was added by the translators, but I think it belongs there. I think they were inspired of God. I think you're taking away from the Word. Or what about saying that the translators, they added the word manner there? Here's the thing. Is that no one is altering the text of Revelation. Like, the original text in Greek is not being changed. Now, they're translating it, or I'm reading it and explaining it, but I'm not changing it for all time, trying to alter the message. You know, like, that would be like early on, you know, getting hold of the early copies, trying to collect them all and to change things. There's no changing being done in any of this. I mean, they make a bad translation, they make a bad translation. But that's not the same as changing the Word of God. The manuscripts and the codexes exist. They're out there. They can be cross-checked. There are thousands of copies. They're not actually changing the Word. At this point, it's all permanent. I mean, I got Greek New Testaments. No one's going to be able to, like, just change it on us and take away from the words or add to them. That means someone trying to slip stuff into the text to change it or to remove verses. So this curse is on people trying to alter history, so to speak, trying to tamper with John's writing, like to tamper with it. So that when you would open up your Bible, like verse 17 or let's say verses 18 and 19, let's say you just open up your Bible and it wasn't there anymore because they had excised it from the text. They'd gotten it out. And that's the way I take this. It refers to people trying to systematically or through subtlety, trying to alter the text of the Bible to prevent people from having the truth. And here's the thing, is through all the years that the scriptures were copied and by hand, you know, comparing with the Dead Sea Scrolls and all the many, many copies, it is the most well-attested book on the earth. We have so many copies and very, very little has changed. Almost nothing of significance. Very little significant change. Most of the things people argue about are like the equivalent of like, you know, a word got maybe one letter off and so it ended up being sort of one misspelling caused it to be, you know, instead of Pats, it's Pots and or something like that. You know, it's just a little mistake like that. But a lot of times, you know, those have been detected. Now, how much is that going to change it? Well, if over the past couple thousand years it hasn't changed much, it probably didn't change much from the beginning. But there it is. It's a warning. Do not add unto these things. My opinions, my words, my teachings, it's mine. I'm not adding to the Word of God. I'm just adding the Word of God to what I say. What I say, I'm backing up with the Word. I'm not changing the Word. I'm not adding to it. I'm not taking away. It's a totally different thing. Verse 20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. That is what men have hoped for centuries and for several millennia now. And it can be frustrating at times with people always saying, oh yeah, we're in the end times, but we're not yet. Even so, come Lord Jesus, we look for it to happen. He will come. For us who have faith, he will come. We go to the grave. From that moment, we will know nothing until the resurrection. The grace of our Lord. I talked a lot about the grace in this final chapter. I'm not going to touch on it anymore. Usually when I see the word grace, I take that as an opportunity to really dig into it. But I'm going to just let it sit, let it lie. We've talked about it. The grace of Jesus Christ be with you. I've tried to bring it to you. I try to bring it to you in all my teachings, to bring you the grace of God, to bring it home to you so you can understand, so you can lay hold on it. So you who are thirsty might have whereof to drink, or to know that you can drink. You can drink freely. Yes, eternal life in the world to come, but even now, you know, God is teaching us, the grace of God is teaching us to live a certain way. So that when those times come, we will be righteous, so we can be righteous still. We will be holy, so we can be holy still. We do not want to be among those who are filthy, because they will remain filthy still. Nor among those who are unjust, because their injustice will pursue them, and no doubt multiply, just as the righteousness of the righteous will probably multiply as well. Because as the challenges to our righteousness come forward, as the challenges to our purity, to our holiness, as those challenges increase during that great time, and we stand true, and our faithful God is faithful to us and keeps us in all that, the glory is increased. So, amen.